This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly. How are you this morning? Happy Thanksgiving, Charlie.
Oh, and to you too, Mike. Look at you. You've got like a flannel shirt on. You're doing the real country thing.
Yeah. Enjoying some cottagey time for Thanksgiving. This is something I'd wanted to do for a long time, was be up at the family cottage for Thanksgiving. We've never done this before.
Nice. So you've got your turkey to put in the oven and your pies and all that important stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to just, as soon as I finish the garden show, jumping into the kitchen and kitchen prep and all that stuff.
All right. So you're having Thanksgiving tonight. The dinner.
We're all weekend.
Of course.
Well, you know what? As you know, because you have grown children and I have some grown children and a couple at home, but because they either don't live at home or they have boyfriends, girlfriends and that. And so you, it's not as easy as just loading them in the car and saying, we're going up here. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so some of them say, oh, well, I'll be coming by then. And some of you say, well, I'll be there then, or I'll be leaving then. So you just have to, go with the flow. Right?
Yeah, it happens.
So it's kind of a go with the flow Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah. So you just be in the kitchen the whole weekend, just keep cranking out food.
That's
the role of the parent.
That is the role of the parent.
So I have good news. We had some rain this week.
I was hoping that you did, because we got some rain as well. And I was really, really, really hoping you did as well.
Yeah, we did. We had some rain last night too. Now, I'm not exactly sure how much dropped last night, but we might have had as much as 50 millimeters this week.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 2 inches of rain. That's really good. That's just amazing. Because frankly, we had our sixth water truck dump 3,000 gallons of water into our well earlier this week.
Six.
Mm-hmm. Six this season.
Wow.
Yeah, broke all records for us. Trust me. But you know what? It's not just us. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to who live in the county where I am now, Prince Edward County, or north of here, up Sterling Way, who have been out of water for months, like literally dry wells all over the place.
That's tough. That's hard.
Yeah. Working around it. Different workarounds, right? Going to the laundromat going to the community center to shower, all kinds of workarounds. People are doing what they can to get by, but it's looking very nice here. The fall colors have really started to pop.
Yes.
And the lawns have suddenly greened up. So, we're looking real pretty. And I've got bulbs to plant. And I've got bulbs for you to plant.
Yes. And so we have to connect, which I think might be next weekend.
Yes, indeed. I will be in the city. We're going to do a delayed Thanksgiving in my family. We seem to do delayed every year for all our, other than Christmas. We always do Christmas on the 25th. But so we'll do Thanksgiving next weekend. So I'll be in the city next weekend. And then I'll bring my kids home with me.
Okay.
Beautiful county from Toronto.
Let me give out the numbers, because we'd love for you to give us a call. We've got lots of room on the lines. Okay, love to hear your gardening questions. Could be an indoor gardening question, could be an outdoor gardening question. I actually, Charlie, I think I even have a clarification question for you, which I will wait my turn. I will get in line and I will not ask more than one question at the same time.
I will only
do one question per call. Okay. The numbers to call if you live in Toronto are 416-360-0740. Or if you live outside Toronto but still within Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Please do let Owen know if you're a first-time caller, because then I will give you the garden wings, because you'll have earned them. And as I was mentioning earlier, one question per call, please call often. call early. Have you got any announcements other than the reminder to plant bulbs?
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a bit about garlic and amaryllis, I think, too, later in the show. But I'd like to just remind people that if you are a first-time caller and you do get your garden wings, it is a perfect time to get that visual, that above-ground visual of your garden. I mean, obviously the colors are great, but it's just a really nice time to sit back and do a little bit of an analysis on the garden. You know, what was great, what's looking a little drab now or has been for the last month or so, what to move, what to add, what to think about for the future. It's a really excellent time to be pretending you're a drone, so to speak. But I will remind everybody, I mentioned this last week, October 19th, there is a silent auction and special guest speakers at the St. Catharines Museum, Lock 3 on the Welland Canal Parkway. So that's an all-day 10 to 4 event. The speakers are Paul Zammit and Lorraine Johnson. This does include refreshments and a light lunch. So the tickets at the door are $25. However, if you buy in advance, it's only $20. Now, this is brought to you by the St. Catharines Horticultural Society, and this is obviously a fundraiser. Hort societies always need to raise funds, whether it's to do good works in the community or to bring in excellent speakers like both Paul and Lorraine.
Okay, lovely. Lovely. Before I forget, I do want to mention, you were speaking about being on the lock system. Of course, you know that I was in Port Colborne last week, right on the locks, watching all the big ships go.
You sent some great videos.
Yeah, really, really nice. But I have to tell you that I met a lot of AM 740 listeners when I was doing the program. A lot of people would come through on the receiving line after we did the show. We would thank people for coming. And I would meet people who said, you know, that we listen regularly, and garden show listeners. And one of the people that I met who lives right in Port Colborne is Rita. Ah. And Rita identified herself, and when she did, I went, oh my goodness. So Rita is the one whose sound clip we used in the commercial for 3 years saying that she likes to listen to the garden show because it just makes all the problems in the world go away. And as soon as she said that, I thought, oh, I know who you are. And, it was an ad. Voice. Yeah, it was an ad that we played for about 3 years on the garden show on AM 740.
Oh, yeah.
And Rita is the one who had called in, and they captured that little sound bite. And I met her. And Rita listens every single week, so I wanted to say hi to Rita.
Yeah,
to say hi. Yeah. She wanted to make sure that I said hi to you.
Well, hi, Rita. Appreciate the voice. And it's always nice to get great clips from listeners because – I mean, yeah, make all the problems go away. Let's talk gardens. Let's not talk anything else, but, you know, beauty in the garden.
Yeah. And speaking of beauty in the garden, let's go to our first caller. We got Ann on the line from Georgetown. Welcome to the garden show, Ann.
Thank you. Hi, Morning. Charlie.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, what do you got there for Charlie there, Ann?
I'd like to know how I winter geraniums.
These are annual geraniums, I assume, annual geraniums, flowering geraniums. What I did just a few days ago is I dug up a few geraniums, potted them up into pots, and brought them onto my porch. So right now they're not outside, but they're not inside quite yet. They will be coming into my home studio because I have a nice bright sunny window here. So if you can, you know, it depends on the size of the plants and how many pots you've got. You need fresh potting soil, but you'll just dig them up out of wherever they are, get them into a pot, not with ground, you know, topsoil, but with actual potting soil around the root ball. And then, yeah, bright sunny window, and they do just fine over the winter. I find they're not going to necessarily flower all winter, but main thing is you want to keep them alive. And even if you only have one plant, you can take cuttings from that plant and you can use that plant to make more plants starting late next in the winter.
Okay. I don't have to take them out of the pots anyway then.
Okay. So are they're in pots now, obviously?
Yes. Yes.
And they're small enough you can bring them in the pots?
Oh, yeah. They're only in the regular flower pots.
Oh, there you go. Sure. Then just clean them up, you know, take off any dead or brown or yellow, check for spiders, check for webbing, you know, do a little bit of a cleanup that way. Maybe use the hose, blow off any little animals that are riding along in the pot, and then bring them in, drain well and into a sunny location.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lois. Listen to you every Saturday.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Ann. Happy Thanksgiving. Okay, so that answered my question, because my question was exactly that. I have those couple of geraniums outside. One of them is the one that you gave me, mm-hmm. with the variegated leaf, which I love.
It's actually it's a cultivar called Vancouver.
Okay.
I love that geranium. That's what I brought in. I brought in.
So I have it outside, a couple of geraniums, that one and one other, in a very, very heavy cement planter. So I cannot bring that in. So my question was if I can then lift them out, which you have answered. So I will do exactly what you said, and I will bring them in shortly.
All right. Well, so right when we get back from this break, I'd like you to fill us in on whether you've had frost or not.
Okay. So I will talk about that when we get back. Do give us a call. Again, the number is 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. Don't be shy. Give us a call. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show, and just now hearing that crack of thunder in that intro there and the rain, and I just got all giddy for you there because it's hard. You know, we laugh, but it's hard when you don't have rain for weeks
or months. Yeah.
That is really, really, really frustrating because you count on that balance, right? We count on that balance of, sure, we want the nice days, mm-hmm. you know, but somebody commented last week. They said, this Tuesday's supposed to be a crappy day. We're supposed to have rain. And I said, we need the rain. I said, I said, it's important to have the balance.
Well, absolutely. And honestly, it's actually been depressing, like, to not have rain for so long. So you know, for me, it's like, I've got to go check on something in the garden. And as soon as I step outside, I'm like, I don't even want to look at the garden. You know, just everything like limp and dry and small and pale. And I mean, it's not like anything important died. I've kept the water on enough to keep things alive, which is why we've had 6 water trucks come to our well. But it, you know, the tomatoes, the plants are half the size they were last year. The harvest is probably half the harvest of last year. Yeah. It's been a very good year for peppers for me. I've got a lot of red peppers. Carrots have developed an unusual kind of a growth pattern this year, which we can talk about. But it's been very sort of sad and depressing. And I'm hoping for a better, more joyous year next year. Just having. And it is certainly a beautiful day today.
Yes. And very quickly, before we go to our next caller, you had asked about frost.
Yeah.
I think we have been very, very close, but in my estimation, we haven't yet had a really proper frost in Collingwood yet, but I think we're really close.
But have you seen, do you have any annual plants where they've dropped to the ground, where the leaves have turned black or anything like that?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. But again, I was away.
You're at the cottage too, right?
But yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Joe, who's sitting in there beside Owen, keeping him company in Toronto in the studio, he said he had sparkly, freezing ice crystals on his car earlier this week in Toronto, in Scarborough.
Okay.
We had enough of a cold snap that the sweet potatoes are a form of morning glory or Ipomoea. So those leaves turned black and dropped. Not all of them, but, you know, 50% of those leaves dropped because of the cold, but nothing else. I actually burlapped. I've never done this before. I put burlap blankets over my peppers and tomatoes because I have so many green tomatoes still and green peppers. And I just thought it's worth a try. I knew it was warmer weather coming. So I had them all sort of blanketed for 2 nights and a day there. And I opened them all up again and we'll see if I get some reddening up. And if not, we start making green tomato jam or fried green tomatoes, or we wrap them up in newspaper.
I'm in. Fried green tomatoes, I'm in. Next week in the studio, we'll...
For sure. I'll bring my frying pan. And
there you go. We'll get one of those induction burners and we'll make them in the studio. There we go.
Sounds great.
Love it. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Sandra calling from Etobicoke. Welcome to The Garden Show, Sandra.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Morning. You too. Hello, Sandra. Good
morning. And we haven't had any frost in Etobicoke. I'm central Etobicoke. A bit more southern, perhaps, but we've had nothing, absolutely nothing. Everything is still full bloom, growing.
Nice.
But we did get rain last night.
October. Right.
My question is about planting garlic. I'm just wondering, as it's been so much warmer, should I be planting it a little later than usual?
Okay, so I think that's a great question. And I think the real answer to that is look at the forecast. You want to get your garlic into the ground so that it has at least 6 weeks for the roots to start to develop, so the plant will be ready to go next spring. However, if you plant it too early, in the sense that we have lots of very mild weather, your garlic can start to grow, and it can actually grow right up above ground. And then you've got those little green sprouts, and then there's a huge panic when we get snow and real frost. What's going to happen to the garlic? Garlic's pretty tough. So it's a fine line. Typically, we think about us in Southern Ontario as planting our garlic anytime from early October, though I usually think in terms of mid-October, right through until late November. So you want your ground to be workable, not frozen, and you want it to, you know, the plants to the little bulbs that to get down there and have those weeks of getting sorted out just before the ground really freezes. The soil is beautiful right now. It's nice and warm. It's moist. It will happily take the garlic, and the garlic will happily start to hunker down into that nice warm soil. So I'm not planting my garlic yet. I'm going to probably, it'll be in the next week to 10 days, though, that I'll get my garlic outside, I would say, based on the forecast.
Okay, I'll do the same. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, thanks for calling. Good question. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Sandra. You know what? Our next break is upon us, but again, give us a call. We do have some callers on the line, but we do have room as well. Don't wait till the last 15 minutes, because then, you know, we can't always get all the calls in. So let's make that happen sooner rather than later. 416-360-0740. 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show, and I just wanted to let you know, Charlie, of course, being up the cottage, I have to use the mugs that are, you know, that are here. And I have one that is covered with butterflies and beetles and bugs of all sizes, just like the intro said there.
I thought it was going to be like world's best dad or something.
No.
To prove it.
No, look. I opted for the one. I thought this was completely in line with The Garden Show this morning, having the butterflies and the beetles and stuff like that.
There's mine. Look, covered in flowers.
Flowers as well. Mm-hmm.
Nice. We're all gardeny today.
We all are gardeny. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Helen on the line, and Helen is calling from Etobicoke. Welcome to The Garden Show, Helen.
Thank you. Thank you. This is my normal happy Saturday morning with you guys.
Us too.
Yeah. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
What do you got Helen?
I just have to tell you about the salmon running. And there's an area here, an old mill. I don't know if anybody knows it, but I've been there every year about this time of year to watch the salmon go up the weirs and do their spawning. And it's always amazed me, absolutely. I was down there last week, I guess it was. The salmon were going in the opposite direction from the weir. And it was just astounding, the opposite direction from where they would normally jump up. And then I'd swim up. And then I read about it, and it was the lack of rain in the Etobicoke Creek. We haven't had any rain all summer. It's been a real drought. Oh, and that is exactly why they weren't going up this weir to do their spawning. And it was just so amazing. Just dumbfounded.
So I guess the creek levels are so low that they maybe can't get up the weir. It's too big of a jump. Or if they do get up there, there's not enough water to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'd never seen that before. And I just couldn't figure it all out until I read something about the lack of water. And that's what it was. And maybe it was still too warm for them, too. So
probably.
Interesting how they adapt.
Yeah, I'll go back this week and just see. But we still haven't had a whole lot of rain. It's really sad, actually.
It is. Well, and it's great. Like, I'm close to Belleville, and of course, the Moira River runs from north down through Belleville into Lake Ontario. It's like a creek. It's normally a river. Like there were mills, like many mills that ran off that river for many, many years. You couldn't barely get your ankles wet at this point because there's so little water in it. How would you ever run a mill? Like, you know, lumber mills. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And then you said, too, about your well. So there has been a lack this whole summer, hasn't there?
There has. All of Southern Ontario, actually a lot of Eastern Canada has really, Eastern Canada has really suffered for lack of rain this year. So we're hoping there'll be lots of snow to make up for the lack of rain.
And I'm sure they predict it, but who knows how it's going to happen. Anyway, that was my story that I just had to
thank
tell you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks so much for the call there, Helen, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Helen has reminded me that, of course, in nearby where I live, in nearby Thornbury, they have they don't call it a fish ladder, which is a common term, because they have a dam there. They have called it, they designed it differently years ago, which is less stressful for the salmon. So it's called a fishway, and it just allows them not to have to jump as much up into cascading pools, but it's very gradual so they can get their way through the rocks and
like
everything.
Like switchback but, kind of thing. Probably.
Yes, it is. But it is fascinating. And there were, when I was traveling through there about a week or so ago, I was reminded that there were hundreds of people on the bridge trying to catch a glimpse of this because it really is one of nature's fascinating annual things.
Yeah, truly, truly. Oh, I wonder what's going on, what the water levels are like in your area, in the Thornbury area, whether the being able to go upstream. Yeah.
Now I know that we have been blessed with a little bit more rain than you have had, like because there have been times when we have had days of rain through the summer where you have said nothing, you know. So I think we haven't been quite as badly, but even though it has been drier than normal. But I'm embarrassed to tell you that we have, like outside our house, we have often we have a ditch full of water.
I know. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear about it.
I know. And I mean, honestly, I could put a sump pump in there and I could spray it all over my lawn. I mean, like it just sits there sometimes for weeks. Yeah. And so we have had a little bit more rain. So I think Georgian Bay is, I don't know, it might be down, but I don't
Lake
think
Ontario is definitely down.
Lake Ontario, and of course we feed off of Lake Huron, so it's a little, bit, a little bit different.
Yeah, because the Bay of Quinte is way down by many feet. Like it's not just down a bit; it's down quite a lot.
So, quick question before we get to our next caller: What is it more difficult though? I mean, I know that in the past we have had summers, and you have had to deal with growing seasons where there have been too much rain, and everything is wet and not enough sun. Which is easier to deal with? I mean, both of them are difficult.
Well, because I'm a person who's never, up until recently, lived with a well, I would have said, drought's fine. You just turn on a sprinkler. You know, I lived in York Region, Richmond Hill. We could, if it was, now we would get to some regulations where the water was being controlled. So you couldn't just willy-nilly sprinkle everything, but you could certainly keep things alive. So I would have said that in the past. And now, you know what? The thing about really wet seasons is that it does come down to the soil. The perfect soil has the balance where it retains water if it's a dry year, but it also drains water when we have a wet year. So always your best gardening experience is going to be based on having the best soil.
Yeah.
And that's not just a plain old topsoil. That's a nice mix with lots of organic material and lots of life. You want life in your soil. The biology in the soil will dictate the health of your plants every step of the way, whether it's a drought or a flood.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Need the balance.
Yeah.
The good balance. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Lauren on the line. She is from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Lauren.
Hi. I'd like to ask a question about Virginia creeper. I've been trying to grow some from a stem, and I've got it in water, but after about 5 months, all I have is these little nodules at the end of the stem in the part that's in the water. Like, you know, like the kind of nodules that would grow on a potato that's getting older.
Oh, perfect. Sweet. You know what? Okay. So, I'm just going to, don't interrupt you, Lauren, but I'll tell you what's going on there. So Virginia creeper is a very, very vigorous plant. I'm kind of surprised it hasn't turned those little nodules into roots because what those little nodules are what we call undifferentiated tissue. That's one of the cool things about plants. When we wound a plant, like taking a cutting or doing any cutting on a plant, we're wounding it. So the plant, like us, would try and fix that wound. We typically, if we wound ourselves, we have a scab, and then our body replaces or fixes that wound with more skin, more dermal tissue. Whereas with plants, in its effort to fix the wound, plants create tissue that's called undifferentiated. So that white sort of gnarly looking nodule-y stuff at the cut end could become roots, could become stems, could become leaves, could become flowers. It could be anything, because plants can take that tissue and make it anything. We can't, right? We can't turn skin tissue into, blood vessels, but plants can. So that's one of the very, very cool things about plants. So what I would do if I were you, you know where you want to plant that Virginia creeper, I assume, yes?
Yeah, I have an idea.
Okay. Make sure it's somewhere that it's going to be allowed to grow, because it does really grow once it gets going. I wouldn't put it on my house. I'd put it on an outbuilding or a fence, preferably where it's going to get afternoon sun, because then you'll get the beautiful fall color. But I would put it in the ground today. Get those, how tall is that cutting that you've had in water all this time?
It's just a little under a foot. It has leaves on it, but it's only got the nodules at the end, so I didn't know when you actually have to plant it, because it doesn't look like it has much root on it to me.
That's fine. It will grow roots. As soon as you put that into soil, that tissue will turn into root tissue. So that's your main thing, is find your location, get it in the ground, bury about half the plant, so 6 inches under the ground with those leaves sticking out above ground, and put some maybe little stakes around it or some string just so you remember where it is and nobody steps on it or runs it over with a lawnmower, because it's going to be small for now. It needs to be undisturbed. Get it in the ground, and then you'll know where to look for it in the spring. And I think you'll find it'll just take off next spring.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, thanks for your help.
You're very welcome.
Yep. Thanks very much for the call there, Lauren. Sounds like you're doing all the right things. Numbers to call us, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. Our next caller is from North York. Welcome to the Garden Show, Larry.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good.
Morning.
How are you?
How are you?
Right. The second best day of my life today.
The second best day. What was the first best?
Hasn't come yet.
Beautiful. Beautiful. What do you got for Charlie there, Larry?
Quick question. I bought this summer 3 daylilies, and they're doing great. They get a moderate amount of sun. Mm-hmm. I have an area that's about needs probably 10 more plants that get low light, and I think I paid $30 a plant, in July. Now I've got a chance to buy 10 more from a landscape company. Mm-hmm. Is it too late to plant them now?
No, it's not too late at all. We've still got, remember I mentioned earlier, we've got nice warm soil, we've got moist soil, it's only the middle of October. If we can get plants, do any transplanting or planting of plants now, we like that kind of 4 to 6 week window where the plants will be able to start growing some roots, settling in, establishing into our gardens before serious winter sets in. So we've definitely got that 4 to 6 weeks, I would say. You've got time there. But I don't know if I'd put a lot of daylilies in low light.
Okay.
You won't get a lot of flowers. They will grow. You will have green leaves, but you won't have a real good show of color if that's what you're looking for.
Okay. The ones I have are doing great, but they might get an extra hour and a half of sun. Where I want to plant them is behind a retaining wall, so I might get 2 or 3 hours of sun a day.
Mm. Okay. Might work. So the wall is what creates the shade. So it's not like some trees are going to get bigger and make it shadier. It's worth a try. Keep in mind that the daylilies you bought can be divided. So if you look at those plants, there's probably a multitude of different plants growing all together in that clump. So technically, you don't need to buy any at all. You could dig up what you planted in July, get out a sharp knife, and saw up, any one clump can have 5, 10, 20 plants all growing together. And if you can saw them apart, so you've got some leaf and some root, you could transplant that into the area that you're talking about and save the money on buying more. And in the meantime, we could talk about some plants that might be better suited. You could even send me a photo if you want, and I could give you some ideas on some better plants. It'll give you maybe a little more wow factor at this retaining wall, given that it's fairly low light.
Yeah. I mean, somebody said that bleeding hearts would do great.
Mm-hmm. They will. If you're getting 3 or 4 hours of sun, though, they will disappear. Well, they might not. They won't look like much in the summer. They'll look great in the spring, though. Early summer, they're great.
Yeah.
When they're flowering. They're kind of an ephemeral, right? They do a real nice spring thing, and then they kind of disappear. But yeah, there's all kinds of hostas that grow in medium light. I have a sort of long list in my head of different things that do nicely. Most of them are spring flowering because in our shady spots, shade tolerant and shade loving plants do all their flowering in the spring when there's the most amount of sun. Think of trilliums, right? They're all about spring and they grow in the forest. So it's the things that grab the spring sunshine that do so well in the shady locations, but provide a beautiful green plants or variegated plants throughout summer and fall. Even something like euonymus, right? A variegated euonymus can be nice year round.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Larry. Yeah, got to run to our next caller.
Thank you.
Have a nice Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to Dawn now, who is calling from Alliston, north of Alliston. Welcome to the Garden Show, Dawn.
Hello.
Morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
So nice hearing
what do you got?
People.
Thank you. What do you got for Charlie there, Dawn?
I've got a rhubarb that's been in the ground for a number of years. It was in the ground when we moved here, and that was 23 years ago. Huh. And every year it's been producing good amount of rhubarb, except for this year. We had only one cutting off of it. Now, I'm wondering if I should dig it up and separate it or what?
Not necessarily. Has the light levels changed?
No, they stayed the same.
Okay, so it's not like trees have made it shadier, because rhubarb likes full sun, like 6 hours of sun minimum every day to really thrive. The other thing rhubarb really loves is a great soil, like a fertile soil, lots of organic material. So digging up, it wouldn't be my first choice. I'd say supplement the soil first. Try and get a hold of some composted manure, whether it's from a local farm or from a bag at the home hardware or whatever, and top dress around the rhubarb. Make sure there's no lawn growing right up to the rhubarb, that it's not competing with other plants. So it's got its own little bed, so to speak. And loosen up the soil just with a rake or a cultivator, and then get that sort of half inch or so of good quality organic material around the plant, not right up touching the plants, but all around it. And I think you'll find it'll do a lot better if you do that.
Okay.
All right. Let me know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very
much
for the call there, Dawn. Yeah. Love the rhubarb.
Do you?
We have a small rhubarb patch, but would love to have, if I had more room in the right place, would love to have that, because I am a sucker for a good rhubarb pie. Love it.
So yeah, it's funny. I haven't planted any rhubarb because I don't live with a sucker for a rhubarb pie.
No.
And I'm like, why do I want to grow a bunch of rhubarb? It's not going
to
ever get eaten. Yeah, for you.
You need to put one in for me. I will give you for your birthday a rhubarb plant and then you can give me the rhubarb.
There's an idea. I mean, what I probably should be growing is asparagus, because we love asparagus. And that's a wonderful perennial, vegetable or edible plant, similar to a rhubarb. But I haven't planted any of that either.
I can trade you, because we live like a concession away from asparagus farm. Yeah. And right. I'd be happy to trade you, you know, like I'm not going to bother planting asparagus because all I have to do is drive
around
3 minutes from my house and I got Maxwell Acres there and I just go and buy some. So I'll bring I'll trade you for the rhubarb.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Who have we got on the line next? We have got Beth from Oro Medonte, which is, of course, sort of between the Barrie and the Orillia area. Welcome to the Garden Show, Beth.
Hello, guys. Good morning. This is morning. My dedicated hour of Charlie and Dean. Nope, everybody knows not to bother me during this hour. anyway, I've called him before, and you are always helpful. So my go-to for sort of easy summer gardening is a few packets of zinnias, or I saved the seed from last year's, the previous year's, and a package or two of cosmos. And my goodness, it's an easy way to garden. The zinnias this year, amazing. Mm. Two or three clumps, you know, you cut them off, you give them away, you bring them in, and they just keep growing. They still look amazing. Cosmos this year, for the first year, lovely green plants, you know, very healthy, 3, 4, 5 feet tall. Not one blossom.
Huh.
The entire summer.
And that's weird.
I've taken them out. So I don't know what's, it was a new package of seed.
Oh, okay. This year you scattered a new package.
I did.
Hmm. It's those seeds. It's got to be. Because if the conditions were great for zinnias, it's the exact same conditions that we want for cosmos. Lots of sun, nice and warm, well-drained soil. All those are the exact, they love the same conditions. So I'm blaming the seeds.
That's what I'll do next spring. Well, next spring I will try again. It's the first year for failure, and they are such a beautiful flower, both of them, at this time of year.
Well, sure. Like, I planted a package of cosmos seeds 4 years ago. I just scattered them, and of course, a lot of them came up, and here I am 4 years later. They still come up. Like, they produce seeds, and then I just let them come up every year. You know, I don't let them come up.
And they are flowering. Are they?
Yeah, and they flower because that's how they produce the seeds. Yeah. So you'll have to get more seeds for next year, but don't get a different variety.
Okay. Listen,
all right,
that's
good
great.
Luck.
You've answered my question. Thanks so much. Okay.
Thanks very much for the call there, Beth, and happy Thanksgiving. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show, and it is Thanksgiving weekend. It is the 11th of October, and presumably, although no, you know, it's not like everybody does it the same day or the same weekend. As you say, you're going to do it next weekend because that's when you and your family can get together, but typically around this time of year, families are gathering.
Right. Well, and like you said, you're up at a cottage and you totally made me remember we used to have a place up in Tomogamy, so further north from where you are. And we used to go there for Thanksgiving, and it was always cold. And it was such a big deal because it was a tiny little one room cabin with cooking turkeys and baking pies. Yeah. I mean, the steam that would build up on the windows, you couldn't see outside. And then going canoeing in the snow. Because invariably it would start snow. It would be usually very cold. And it was so different. It was just a really, really good place to go because it really changed up, you know, life, but it really changed up Thanksgiving too.
Yeah, I got it in my brain that this is what I wanted to do this year. So this is why we're here. So there you go. Okay, got a first-time caller on the line.
Nice.
From Milton. Welcome to The Garden Show, Jerry.
It's Terry. Sorry.
Oh, Terry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw it.
What's that?
Jane. Okay. Terry.
Happy
sorry
moment.
About that, my friend.
Charlie and Dean.
You know what?
Welcome.
You're getting the garden wings. There you go. Oh, sorry. Just one sec. There we are.
Wings.
There we are. There are your garden wings. Okay, Terry, what do you got?
Thank you. Yes, well, maybe that will make me a gardener. I'm not really much of one, but I have a question.
You never know.
I have a question about a Christmas cactus that I have some pieces from, and this Christmas cactus would have been given to my mother from one of her friend's mothers. So yeah. my grandparents, and I'm in my 70s. So
right. They're amazing plants. They live forever.
That's what I figured. And I have some pieces, and they're in a glass jar in water. And they've been there for years. Can I transplant it and put it in actual planting soil?
Years. And they haven't rotted in the water. Turned to mush.
I actually had a flower last year.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Well, what I would do is get them out of the water. And yeah, get yourself a clay pot. So a pot that's got, you know, excellent drainage, not a plastic pot, little terracotta pot. Small is good. You don't want a big, huge one. If you've got a couple little segments of leaves, you just want a little 4 or 5 or 6 inch pot at the biggest. And then take those cut ends of the Christmas cactus and nice fresh potting mix. If you can get cactus soil, that's even better because it'll have sand and gravel and great drainage.
I actually was given a bag of cactus soil and was going to ask you if that would
work. Yeah. So you're going to pre-moisten the soil because it's dry in the bag. So you're going to pre-moisten that, fill the pot with some of that moist soil, and then you just use a pencil or whatever, make a bit of a hole in the soil, and then gently just push the cut ends of the Christmas cactus segments into the soil, not way down, just down like a quarter of an inch, eighth of an inch, like bare, you're just almost literally on the surface. And then if you want to use, you can use chopsticks or pick up some twigs from outside, and you just want to stabilize those segments so they stand and then they don't fall over, because you're not going to jam them way down. They're just going to be very, very superficial, and you're just going to put the plant, the pot in a sunny window, and you're not going to water it. You're not going to touch it. You're going to turn it every now and then carefully, and eventually roots will grow. And then, of course, you can take your twigs and sticks out. It'd be nice and stable. But until you've got roots, it won't be.
It actually does have roots on it.
Oh, okay, even better. So get it into this potting mix and cactus mix, moist. And, yeah, just do it. Yeah, the sooner the better.
Okay. Today. That's great.
Okay, Terry, you got your marching orders. Okay, you got your Thanksgiving marching orders. I've got
no turkey for you until you get that done.
There you go. Don't be a stranger. Make sure you call us back another time. I got to go to our next caller, which is Elaine in Bob Cajun. Welcome to the Garden Show, Elaine.
Well, God bless you and God bless Charlie. And thank you. Charlie is better than Google, I will tell you, but I hope.
Oh, yeah.
My dahlia. I hope she can help with my glads. So
what do you need?
Well, what's your question there,
Elena? We've had 3 months of drought. I planted my glads, which they are from a crop that I've been holding and planting for 50 years. So I don't really want to lose them. And now they only grew about a foot. They're starting to put flowers out. I've had about 4 flowers on the 2 rows, but what I'd like to do is there any way that I could stop them from flowering and make them make bulbs instead? What do you think?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, you could cut off the flowers as they start to flower with a sharp scissors and cut those off, because you're right. The glads that you planted, they're actually called corms. So C-O-R-M-S, corms. They do not survive, but they do produce daughters off of the mother. And it's those little daughters that will be the ones you save. And, of course, you're hoping that there'll be time for all this to happen.
Right.
Will that speed it up by removing the flowers? I'm not sure. I think if you cut off the flowers, it might just say, oh, I have to grow more flowers. It might be better to just hope like that it all happens pretty quick. Plants are pretty smart. The days are getting shorter, which is why they're flowering. They're probably saying, not really saying to themselves, but they're probably reacting to the shorter days by wanting to finish the life cycle. And the life cycle includes flowering.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call there, Elaine. Got to run to our next break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Now, Charlie, you were saying during the break that some questions are just harder to answer than others, and you're saying that glad question a bit tough from Elaine.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what to do to try and speed up the flowering? Because at the end of the day, these are very old glads that Elaine has, and she wants to keep them going, and it's just... Yeah, I mean, with glads, usually we stagger the planting because they'll all bloom at the same time if we plant them all on the same day in June or May, whenever we're planting them. So often we'll do like every week or like 10 days, plant half a dozen or plant, you know, a dozen, depending on how many you have, so that you've got the flowering for a longer period. But usually they will have flowered by now because they typically flower in August. So here we are October and she's just getting flowers. She might have got them in late this year, which is why they're taking so long to flower. Mm-hmm. Or it could be the drought and just lack of moisture. Gotcha. Yeah, hard to say.
Okie dokie. Quickly, if you have a question, you can also email Charlie. I know, Charlie, you mentioned it with one of our other callers, c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. Okay, it's not very often I get to do this, but caller from Mississauga, Charlie, welcome to The Garden Show. Charlie.
And a good morning, Charlie. Hello. I never trust anybody with the name Charlie, but it's all right.
We're all the best.
What do you got there, Charlie?
Yes, yes. I'm calling about hydrangea. It's already been established their second year now, and it's got good lengthy branches right now that are at least 2 feet long and a lot of flowers that are now into that deep burgundy color, changed beautifully and healthy all through the season. Do we cut the hydrangeas back at this time?
Some people like to cut them back now. I don't. I like leaving the hydrangea flowers all winter. They will go from that burgundy color to a bronzy, crispy color, and they will be very pretty all winter. Sometimes they break and blow. If it's windy, they'll blow away to the neighbors. But meanwhile, they do provide some winter interest. And then in the spring, when things are starting to pop and the birds are starting to sing, we go in and we cut our hydrangeas right down, you know, about 10 centimeters tall, like quite short. But for now, I leave them alone.
We were smart. We planted it in a wide open area. It gets at least 12 hours sun, and it's as healthy as can be. On the other side of a little Lundy fence is also irises, too, which don't interfere with them. But they should be cut down as well in the spring.
I don't cut down irises. I just using my fingers, I comb through, taking out any of the path. Some of the leaves will have turned brown. I just pull them out, no pruners required, and leave the irises alone, unless you're transplanting. If you're transplanting or dividing, which we do have to do every now and then, irises get very crowded eventually, and the overcrowded irises stop blooming. So if you are transplanting, then yes, you're digging, you are cutting down as part of that transplanting. But otherwise, it's just clean them up and leave them alone.
Yes, okay. Those irises, they do crowd. I mean, they've been there 6 or 7 years, so they're pretty healthy and pretty crowded. But the hydrangea, again, is it's gorgeous as it's changed all these beautiful colors, and we got it just out the kitchen window, and it's beautiful, you know.
Excellent. Sounds great. Leave it all alone, though. You might want to consider doing some lifting and dividing next year with your irises in August.
Thanks for the call there, Charlie.
Thank you for calling. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We have one more caller in the but I don't know that we're going to have time to get to it.
Maybe quickly.
Okay, Mary. Yeah. Mary from Toronto. Quick. Welcome. Yeah. What do you got real quick?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, yeah. Hello. What do you got there, Mary?
Hello. Hello.
Hello there, Mary.
Yeah. Yep. I would like to know about the aspects, how to grow it.
Okay. I'll tell you very quickly. I suggest you hang up and we will turn up your radio. And here's the bottom line with asparagus. You need space, lots of space. You need full sun. That's 6 hours minimum of sun, and you need a very well-drained soil. So a sandy soil, which is probably what's around the corner from Dean's place where the asparagus farm is. Very well-drained, no sogginess. So typically Toronto is not optimal for asparagus growing because you don't have the space, the sun, or the soil. But if you do have those conditions, you can buy asparagus in the spring from your local garden center, and it'll be dormant, little dormant roots, and there's great instructions usually that come with to explain how to start them.
And you know what I could do? Yeah, and what I'll do next spring, Mary, I'll just grab you a bag of asparagus from the local farm, and when I'm into Toronto, I'll just drop it off at your house, okay? You just let me know where you are, okay?
Because
I know Mary calls regularly, so yeah, I know. So I'll just drop it off at her house in the spring. There you go. Oh, my goodness. We're out of time.
Yes, Dean, stop talking. No, I'm kidding. I will see you next Saturday, and Owen and Joe. Thanks, everybody. Great calls. Happy, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey and pumpkin pie, which I'm going to do next weekend. See you again next Saturday.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.